We're speaking here with my good friend Catherine Alexander, who's the proprietor of a consultancy called Art of Leadership, and we're talking about corporate sustainability. Here's a question for you, Catherine. I referenced before my participation in these seminars at UCLA, and the concept of driving costs out of the supply chain by identifying elements of waste. And in particular, I think that pretty much any business, you're the pro at this thing, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say any business can identify areas of waste and remove them and thus increase profits by reducing those costs accordingly. And nobody likes waste. So, and especially if it's toxic waste, but even if it's regardless of what type of waste it is. So I don't doubt that there's some carrot associated with every initial foray into sustainability, where you say, okay, well, the very first thing we're going to do is look at what we're, if we're wasting gasoline, obviously that's, nobody likes that. It's bad for the environment, it's bad for our bottom line, so forth and so on. If we can get rid of that, if we can become, for instance, more savvy in terms of logistics and not drive around so much, you know, everybody wins. I would think, I mean, that's pretty non-controversial. That's pretty, you know, everybody would agree that that's a good thing. Shareholders, people with lungs, doesn't matter. The question is, you're going to hit a point, at least in most businesses, where tough choices have to be made, where approaching a business problem vis-a-vis sustainability is actually going to cost more. You're going to have to make a tough choice. You're going to have to, whether it's thin out your suppliers in terms of, and get rid of certain bad actors, even though those bad actors may be selling you something at an advantageous price. But they use child labor or whatever, or they have unsafe conditions, or they're horrible, you know, living conditions for women, or they're whatever. So my point is that, unless I'm wrong, again, you're the pro, I'm going to turn it over to you in a second, but isn't it true that in a lot of cases, making a nod in the direction of sustainability actually doesn't, it fails to drive down costs incrementally and actually increases costs. Is that true? Is that fair?
I don't think there's anything you do in business that doesn't require an investment at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But the investment has to be wise. And I don't think that's something that's new to business.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are two things that we get, two resistances that we meet when we're starting to become sustainable as a company. The first is personal habit. You mentioned gasoline. If you decide that you want to reduce gasoline, you can do that with scheduling. But maybe you also have to ask people to turn their motors off at certain points in time.
Mm-hmm.
That's a personal habit. People really resist changing their habits.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're going to ask everybody to turn their computer off at night.
Mm-hmm.
Turn the lights out when they leave the room. These are such little things, and yet the resistances that we get about doing it personally, it's nice for somebody else to do it, but when we have to change our habits, it makes it difficult. So that's one of the resistances. The other is the illusion that you're never going to have to put out a little bit of money before you get something back. And it's called an investment. We do it all the time in other areas. I don't know why we think it's a bad thing when it's in an area we're not familiar with. What we have seen is that, yes, there are sometimes investments. Sometimes, I mean, Interface has been such an incredible laboratory for so much of it. Every time they've decided to do something that used less carbon or that was a carbon sink, they discovered they didn't know how to do that, and there wasn't anybody else to help them either. So they had to invest in learning and inventing. They have hundreds of patents they've managed to create out of this exploration. And so, yes, that was an investment, but they have more than paid for that with the paybacks.
Well, that sounds very interesting. Do you mind just informing our listeners as to what you're talking about there, Interface?
Okay, Interface Carpets, Ray Anderson was the founder at the time they undertook this journey, and it wasn't his idea. His people came to him and said, we think we should be sustainable. Now, they make carpet. This is not a sexy product particularly.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that they decided is if they were going to be sustainable, they saw putting carpet in offices and then having people tear that up and put in new carpet was a bit wasteful.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided that they would make a carpet that they could reuse. They even thought about, instead of selling carpet, leasing it so that you would give it back to them at the end, because it became an integral part of their manufacturing process. They needed that carpet back.
Okay.
So it just pushed their thinking in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Ray died a few years back, but the company has soldiered on, and they are now really feeling that they're going to be carbon neutral by 2050, or maybe 2020, actually. And they're now seeing that not only are they going to be neutral, they're actually going to be able to give back, that they will be improving the earth. It's just, they've just taken this so far because of the commitment, not from Ray, but from every person in the company, which is why the leadership is so incredibly different.
Mm-hmm.
They have done things that it wouldn't have been possible for him to even conceive of, no matter
mm-hmm.
how educated or smart he was, because he's not doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
When you do the work, you understand what you need to do, but you have to be trained, you have to be empowered, you have to be taught how to make those changes in a way that is going to achieve the corporate goals.
Mm-hmm.
And they have just done amazing things, just amazing things. And they have reduced their use of almost every resource dramatically,
mm-hmm.
dramatically. And gained profit at the same time. I mean, it's yes, there's an expense. That's right, but it does come back to you. And that's
well, that's an amazing
thing.
Story. And your supposition, your assertion is that there's a similar kind of silver lining to every cloud that looks like a carpet business or what have you.
I am making that assumption, and we haven't done enough to really see where it hasn't absolutely not worked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I first started working with businesses many years ago, we would say, gee, mm-hmm. really need to start listening to your employees. It really will make a difference. And we believed that, but we didn't actually have stories to tell. 5 or 6 years into it, and in fact, if you remember Tom Peters, they did a book about all the wonderful changes companies are making, and then they went back and looked at those companies and discovered that when those companies hit a rough spot, they stopped acting like they were talking and went back to what they really believed, which was the old way of doing things, and they all failed.
You're right.
So we did that, and then we've gotten new companies that have started that didn't have so much to lose, but started
mm-hmm.
more in a new vein of things,
yeah.
who've become incredibly successful. And we've got now tons of stories where we know that when people are really engaged in the work that they do, the company thrives. You can they roll off the tongue, Zappos and Apple, and it goes on and on. Tons of companies have done that.
Mm-hmm.
So we really know that works. We still have more companies that don't do it.
Right.
But we do know that it works. And I think the same thing we're going to start to see in sustainability as companies really start to pay attention, but it's a different way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to understand the impacts that you have on the earth, and we aren't very educated in that.
Mm-hmm.
So there are lots of models. Permaculture is a model. Biomimicry is a model. Natural step is a model. There are many ways of many frameworks that you can use to start thinking differently about your business. And you need those frameworks to help that thinking process. It's not something you just, oh, well, we're just going to be sustainable. We're going to use less. We're going to do this. It's a much deeper thought process.
That's cool. That last one, natural what, I'm sorry?
Natural step.
Explain, please.
Natural step came out of Europe. And you're going to test me here if I can remember all of these. They've only got four principles, but it has to do with not doing anything that extracts from the earth, not doing anything that can't be dissipated or reused by the earth, not doing anything that creates excess, things that you can't get rid of,
right.
Piles of things.
Yep.
When you start thinking about what you do that impacts the earth in this way, it's a subtle shift. You start to see the results of some of the things that you do that you've just taken for granted, assumed that's the way it is. And when you start to question it, then you begin to see that there might be other alternatives and what that might look like. Because this is early in the process, and because we're talking systems here, you often have to create the supporting systems that you need because there aren't suppliers who are doing that. So you have to find somebody who's willing to learn to do that or train an old supplier to make a shift. All of these things make it a more adventurous journey, but a more interesting one at the same time. And the impacts
are incredibly interesting.
Just permeate. They permeate through the whole system because we are literally remaking the system from the inside out.
Yep, that's wonderful. Well, in the blog posts in which I will embed this podcast, I'll also have links to things like the Natural Step. I see this here. There's a whole bunch of wonderful material on this online that I'll
get
to as
well. Yeah, Gil Friends has been a practitioner of Natural Step for a long, long time, and he's now working with the city of Palo Alto.
Oh, good. Good place to be up there. Well, very good. I've certainly enjoyed the conversation, as I knew I would. Do you have any parting words for our listeners?
To have the courage to follow their beliefs and to really pay attention to whether they are happy and excited about their life or they're feeling overburdened and miserable. And that's a really good indication that they're not really doing the things that they actually know they should do.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Do you mind leaving our listeners with directions on how they might be able to get a hold of you?
Sure. The website is theartofleadershipimpact.com. And I can be reached at theartofleadershipimpact@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I really look forward to talking with people. It's a fun thing to do. I do public speaking as well, so I'd be delighted to come to an organization and see what we can stir up.
Well, fabulous. Wonderful to have spoken with you again, Catherine.
Thanks for the opportunity, Craig. I love talking with you, too. You ask great questions.